Today's sermon is entitled Playing for the Same Team. Scripture for this week's sermon is Romans 7:15-25 and Matthew 11:16-19 and 25-30. Playing for the same team. As most of you know, I'm not much of a sports fan. I enjoy watching sports, but I don't spend much time doing it. I don't know the names of more than one or two Yankees, Mets, Giants, or Jets. I don't know any Knicks or Rangers. But one name that I've learned over this past few weeks is the name Tim Howard. Tim Howard is the goalie, of course, for the United States soccer team that was finally eliminated from the tournament in this past Tuesday down in Brazil. Howard was declared the man of the match against Germany despite the fact that the U.S. team lost the game. He had 16 saves, the most in any World Cup game ever. Someone went on Wikipedia site and after the game and changed the name of the United States Secretary of Defense from Chuck Hagel to Tim Howard. Yeah, it was corrected later, but I thought that was funny. And the captain of the Belgian team that defeated the U.S. team on Tuesday tweeted, "I have two words, Tim Howard." Another person tweeted, "The difference between Tim Howard and Jesus? Jesus had 11 guys he could trust." Now, of course, that tweet was made in jest, and I don't want to disrespect Tim Howard, but truth be told, Jesus' disciples, minus Judas, were still far from trustworthy. They deserted him in the Garden of Gethsemane. They couldn't even stay awake with him when he was praying. And truth be told, Jesus blocked far more of his opponent's shots than Tim Howard did. I'm talking verbal shots. All those attempts made by Jesus' opponents to trap him and discredit him. Look, he's picking grain on the Sabbath. Look, he's healing on the Sabbath. Look, he's casting out demons. He must be a demon himself. Look, he didn't wash his hands before he ate. And look who he's eating with. Look, he's preaching without a local pastor's license. They tried to trap him with questions. Is it lawful to pay taxes to Rome? If you believe in the resurrection, who will the husband of a woman who was seven times widowed be when she finally gets to heaven? And of course, the greatest of Jesus' opponents was Rome herself, who took a very direct approach to defeating Jesus by simply nailing him to a tree. Of course, Jesus went on to win the game, rising from the grave and showing that the love of God conquers all evil, including terrorism and torture. But despite Jesus' victory over his opponents, it was not an easy game to win. If I were Jesus, I would have grown really tired of blocking so many shots. I think you would too. Eventually, our opponents would score against us, and once we're behind by a few points, we'd be discouraged. I had the pleasure of watching my best friend's 14-year-old son play baseball a few weeks ago, and it was tough to watch. By the third inning, the other team was winning something like 13-0. What I noted was how Bobby's team started to lose their composure. Pitching, catching, fielding, and hitting all fell apart, leading to the other team to extend their lead. Once your opponent seems to have a clear advantage over you, it's tempting to give up, to stop trying, because you feel that it's impossible to catch up. Well, the same phenomenon occurs at work. If someone considers you a threat to their position or to their authority, they'll start taking shots at you, trying to make you look bad, trying to make you fail, trying to make you lose and keep you in your place, to show you who's boss, literally. And you will either concede and acknowledge that they are the winners, or you'll leave and seek employment elsewhere. Sadly, the same phenomenon occurs at church as well. If you have an idea and you're inspired to do something, you may run into someone who feels that their authority is threatened. And rather than helping with your new ministry, that person will put obstacles in your way. That person will want you to fail because your success might upstage them or make them look like failures. And their egos can't handle that. They'll keep kicking that ball at you, and eventually one will sail past you and you'll get discouraged. I can't count how many stories I've heard of people who left a church because someone felt threatened and started taking shots at them, because what was supposed to be a unified ministry turned into a competitive enterprise. Of course, there are also those who leave the church simply because they didn't get what the way they wanted it. Egos collide with egos, and there are really no true winners when that happens. You see, competition is exhausting. Talk to any competitive athlete. Just look at any athletes coming off the court or field at the end of a game, and you'll see they're all tired. When you compete on the job or at church, you get tired. It doesn't matter whether you win or lose, you get tired. And if you in, you're in if you are encouraged in if you are engaged in competition in the workplace or in the church, whether you win or lose, you will get tired. And so Jesus counsels us to avoid this whole competitive mindset. Stop acting like children. Jesus is on the one hand complaining if you don't dance, and on the other complaining if you don't wail. The religious leaders complain that John the Baptist was too serious, while at the same time they're complaining that Jesus was too casual. At the core of their criticism was the assertion that anything different from their way was wrong. We often do the same thing, don't we? One person we consider a religious fanatic, while we consider another hedonistic. And implicit in our critique is the notion that our belief is right, not too radical and not too casual, neither too hot nor too cold. You shouldn't run off to and live in a monastery, but you shouldn't hang around with sinners either. You want to dwell somewhere near the center. It's a great political strategy, right? Aim for the middle of the road, and you're sure to win an election. You're sure to be popular because you're neither conservative nor liberal. But if your strategy is to be popular by appealing to the majority, you're still in a competitive mindset, and you will try to paint your competitors as either too far left or too far right. As long as you focus on advancing your own agenda, as long as you are trying to get your own way, you have a competitive mindset. Whether you win or lose, whether you're kicking shots or blocking shots, the game will exhaust you. Jesus invites us to explore the alternative. Come to me, and I will give you rest. If we as a church put our egos in the back burner and earnestly seek to follow Christ, we can avoid competing with one another. That doesn't mean that we'll agree on everything, but it does mean that we seek not our own will, but God's will. And that means that we are prayerful in all matters. You know, the true sign that a church is Christ-centered is the primacy of prayer, appealing to God as a community for guidance and wisdom. I belong to Christian committees and communities and organizations that have not humbly gathered in prayer, but instead go right into discussion, and I've seen them divide and disintegrate because without prayer, the agenda shifts from discerning God's will to imposing particular agendas, and it becomes personal, competitive, and ugly. And the meetings are exhausting as so much energy is spent trying to score goals on other opponents. Jesus's solution is quite simple. Come to me, make God's will your priority, and be humble enough to accept that you're not always going to have the best idea, that God may actually give someone else a better idea than you because that he gives you in part to keep you humble and in part so that you can better appreciate that other person. You know, when I was stationed at Fort Lewis, Washington, there's a story of a two sergeants who both had duty, fire duty, at the same time. They had to stay awake all night and guard their respective hallways. Well, the building was L-shaped, and one sergeant was sitting at the desk right next to the other sergeant, one looking to his right down the hallway, the other one looking to his left down the hallway. And one of those sergeants says, "This is ridiculous. One of us can do both of this. One of us could be sleeping and the other one could be doing this. I'm going to go talk to the colonel, to the company commander." He gets out of his desk and goes to talk to the colonel. The other one gets on a huff and says, "You know, this is against protocol. You can't leave your place. You have to stay there and guard." And so he goes and talks to the colonel, and the colonel agrees with him. He says, "This is ridiculous." And when the colonel comes back and the other sergeant is complaining that this man leaves his post, the colonel silenced that criticism, saying, "This man had a good idea. Let's go with it." We get so competitive sometimes that we can't see straight. Coming to Jesus also means putting on his yoke, or in other words, submitting to his authority, which means humbling yourself and accepting that God may use someone else to communicate a good idea, someone else to point the way that the church needs to go. This is how Jesus wants his church to function, to be united in following him. And when we're united in him, regardless of whether we all agree on a particular matter, We're free from pride and the futile pursuit of self-aggrandizement. I'm only temporarily here at this church. As a matter of fact, we all are. We're all moving on to glory. Someday, someone will be looking over notes written 100 years ago at one of our church council meetings or trustees meetings or finance committee meetings, reading our names and wondering who we were. And it shouldn't be important that they know us. Our names shouldn't matter. What is important is that we leave a legacy behind, that future generations who belong to Bethel United Methodist Church recognize that we as a church made a difference in this community and in this world. And if we're preoccupied with trash talking and squabbling and promoting our own agendas, we're not going to make much of a difference in this community. But if we're united in our efforts to follow Jesus Christ, if we submit ourselves to God's authority and put on Christ's yoke, we not only have an impact upon the world, but we find peace in our hearts and minds, which in turn allows us to accomplish even more as a church, since we're not wasting time and energy competing with one another. So may God help us to recognize the pride within that exhausts us in competition and impedes us as a church from effectively carrying out His perfect will. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we all could afford to spend more time and energy pursuing Your will and less time insisting upon our own. Give us enough humility to know that our ideas are not always the best ideas, that others may have better ideas than we do and more wisdom than we do. Save us from exhausting ourselves trying to score against one another, from competing with one another. May we come to Christ ready and willing to put on His yoke and go about the business of building His kingdom and not ours. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.